right now. Christmas is coming. Christmas is coming. Point one. Point two. It's time when God moves. Church, get ready. I believe the Lord told me to bring this message this Christmas, and it's simply this. Jesus is taking Christmas back. And we are his people. And it's up to us to use this best opportunity that we ever get as a Western culture to tell people what Christmas is really about. And Jesus wants to take Christmas back. Now, the kids have all gone out, haven't they? I won't worry you with the fact that you were probably born end of September. And we've missed it anyway. So some say, others say spring, but more accuracy. Doesn't matter. All we need to know is this. It's a festival to celebrate something about Jesus Christ. And our culture and our community needs to hear that again, fresh from the Church of Jesus Christ. Not just in traditional carols. And I don't know about you, I've not heard any new ones for a while. Is there any new ones out there? Yeah, there's Matt Redman doing his thing to sell albums, but I'm talking about carols like Silent Night. Right, last I heard was Graham Kendrick, the ones that kind of took off and whatever. But I bet majority of us don't know all these new ones, but I bet you know Wild Shepherd's What. Yeah? Okay, so what I'm saying is that the traditional stuff is there, but you know the traditional stuff can be sung just as any other song. And there's a confusion out there at the moment. Let me just tell you this much. A few years ago, a Japanese man was asked what Christmas was when he went back to Japan. And do you know what he did? He actually got a Father Christmas and pinned it to a cross. Because that's what he thought Christmas was about. Father Christmas being nailed to a cross. Don't tell me that's not out there. I came out of our swimming this week when we were out doing this, and somebody was in a bit of a sort of a, you know, not so very happy estate. And I said to this person, "You all right?" I said, "Yeah, I just found out that my neighbour spent £2,500 flying from Norwich to Lapland." I said, "Oh, why? What's? Well, that's what Christmas is really about, isn't it?" Yeah. Let me say, I'm not judging here, but there's a church in the city not far from here that's actually advertising a Christmas spectacular all about Christianity, and it says live Disney characters involved. Now, I ain't seen that in the Gospels, have you? I'm sorry, like, it's, you know, and here we have the crib and the angels, you know, and we have the shepherds, oh, and Mickey and Minnie. The fact is, we, without being negative, need to realize again that it is only the power of a risen Christ in his church coming through this Christmas that is going to bring people back to see what Christmas is really about. And let me tell you, it's time when God moves, so we need to get ready. Go on to my next and first slide, please. There we go. Let me tell you a few things. Based on the gospel accounts of Matthew 1 and Luke 1, we learn these things. After 400 years of silence, God began to move again. That's true not just of history, Old and New Testament gap. It's also true of whenever God has moved in church history, often the church didn't expect it. But I don't know about you, I want to say if Christmas is going to mean anything this year, the greatest gift we want to see is lives being changed. And for that to happen, what we have to understand is we've got to get bold again in our proclamation. And I just want to say to you, I had a letter come from Iran this week from a guy, an Iranian brother. He worked with Elam Ministries. Let me just read this to you. He says this: I came to faith at Christmas. Other Iranians can too. Dr. Behrang Masoumi, member of the Elam team, shared his story. You like parties, Behrang. Why don't you come to the Christmas party at our church? It's a birthday celebration of Jesus. That was my first time I learned one of my relatives was a Christian. I was shocked. I was even more shocked to discover that she had been secretly following Jesus for 5 years, and she had been praying for me all that time. I knew I should be angry at her for abandoning our family's religion, but I was very intrigued. I went along to her church not long after. I was astonished by the joy and the warmth with which I was met. Apparently, the whole church had been praying for me for 2 years. Jesus started to stir my heart in that meeting. Wow. But I needed more. So I asked God, give me a clear sign that he was real. The very next day, I was freed from my addiction to cigarettes. I had been addicted for years, but overnight, the very thought of smoking became disgusting to me. I could not deny it. Jesus Christ was alive and very powerful. 1 week later, I surrendered my life to him. Being invited to celebrate Christmas was a simple thing, but it's a vital step in my journey of faith. I know that has been true for many other Iranians. I know it can be true for many more. My prayer is that this Christmas season, many would come to know the Lord right across Iran because of the courageous witness of many believers. Please pray for divinely appointed conversations. You've already prayed for that this year, haven't we? Amen? Salvation for many. And protection for all the house churches in this Christmas season, because there's some Herods in Iran as well who want to destroy what God and the secret police usually attack the house churches on Christmas Day. But they're not stopping. They're encouraging them to go further. I want to tell you, I believe we've become quite selfish at Christmas. Right? Quite selfish in that, you know, well, we'll do our little bit and we'll go out and do our little thing. But I want to ask you, when we go out to Costa on Wednesday night, I'll be there. Are we going to believe to see somebody saved? Or is it just a trendy evening? Come on, let's be honest now. Because if it is, we'll pray for Wednesday morning. We'll spend some time this week praying that when we meet people, they'll be healed. And not only healed, I thank God for healing, but I want to see salvation. Salvation, that's what Jesus came to do. He shall save his people from their sins. Yeah? And so we just need to hear that again, friends. I was thanking God the other day. As a lad of 10 years old, I was allowed to go on Christmas Eve with Wharf Pentecostal Church playing with a squeeze box. Tommy Shepherd, who's dead and with the Lord now, he was a great pianist, but he played a squeeze box as well. And we went out on Christmas Eve to all the local hospitals and places where people had nothing, where there was homelessness, where they were being housed over the Christmas period, and so on. And I was only 10, but my mum and dad said, no, I'll let you come if you want. Now, they knew we weren't going to get back till past midnight. I'm glad about that. I'm glad about that. Tell you what, because sometimes all kids are in bed by 6:30 looking forward to the big day. But I'm glad my parents said, come along and see what the rest of the world is going through at Christmas. And get on. Now, here's the positive. Here's the positive. We were in Strathmore House, which was up the upstairs part of it, was the place where people had only a few days to live. Right? And we went up and we began to sing to them. Now, Tommy Shepherd, we all used to call everybody them days uncle in the church. Everybody was your uncle, right? You know, you're from Yorkshire, you know what I mean, yeah. And Uncle Tom used to play squeeze box. And the funny thing about him was he always used to sing out of one side of his mouth. Now, he didn't have any disability or anything like that. just the way he sang. When he sang, he went, it came out like that, right? And basically, he stood there leading us all in this singing. And we stood there, and I looked around, as a 10-year-old lad, saw all these people, all tubes and things coming out of them and whatever, knowing that they hadn't got much time to live, right? And we sang Silent Night. And then he said, this might be your last Christmas. Our pastor is going to come and tell you how you can have next Christmas in heaven. And Pastor Lockwood was quite an austere guy. His wife had mental disorders for many years. Bless her, she suffered greatly. And he was a man of prayer, and he just stood there and quietly and said, Jesus came into this earth to die for your sins and to give you eternal life, and he's preparing a place for you. And if you want to spend next Christmas in heaven, give me some signal and I'll come and pray for you. At least 5 people in that hospital ward put their hands up, right? Best they could, you know what I mean? Or nodded. And he went over and led one after the other to Jesus. Because Jesus came to save his people from their sins. Jesus came to give us eternal life. Yeah? And Christmas is a fantastic opportunity. Don't forget, friends, it's just only a few years ago. Only a few years ago, we were all singing in Morrison's. Can you remember that? And Joy Fernando heard us singing. And it began her journey back to God, back to ministry. And she's now over at Ash Hill, and she's serving the Lord. We need to see that the activity on the first Christmas of the Holy Spirit was never more powerful. Right? Never more powerful. And we need to kind of get geared up, because if the Iranian Christians are saying, hey, this is a fantastic opportunity, we also need to realize that. It's time when God moves. See, I believe, friends, that what we see in Mark 1 and Luke 1 is this, that God is able to do unusual things. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? God is able to do unusual things because he wants to move his purposes forward again. Wants to move them forward again. He wants us to see that. So he begins to work in unsuspecting people. I want you to realize, friends, that Mary was a teenager. Yeah? And by the way, sometimes, maybe you've not heard this before, but I'm going to tell you at least what you might consider a bit of heresy. But I think it shows the unusualness of the situation. Did you know that any Jewish woman who was spoken to by a man could be seen to be something that she wasn't? So no man was allowed to speak on his own to a woman in Jewish culture, especially if she was a single woman. So can you imagine when an angel appeared to her? And by the way, I just want you to think, Angel Gabriel doesn't always show his wings. If you read that passage carefully, you'll see that she just probably thought he was an ordinary man. By the way, that's not unusual. It's in Genesis 2 when Abraham was, meeting God, and they went down to Sodom and Gomorrah. Can you remember? There was no angel wings. It was just appearance and talking. So when it says, as in most versions, and Mary was troubled, one of the things she could well have been troubled about was that a man was speaking to her. And a man was talking about things that you never talk to men about, like pregnancy. Yeah? So she was that's quite unusual. Do you know what I mean? Well, that means God seemed to break through cultural practices. You know, God wants us to start to think again that he can break into any situation. How many dare to tell me that they have got non-Christian relatives coming for Christmas? Anybody got non-Christian relatives coming for Christmas? Well, I had this funny little joke, actually. You remember the comedian George Burns, anybody? Yeah, he's dead now. But he said this. He said, happiness is having a large, caring, close-knit family at Christmas who all live in another city. Sometimes we need to realize, friends, that it might be the only opportunity some family members might hear about Christ. In your family times, I want us to believe. We're going to pray at the end this morning as soon as I've finished. We're going to pray that God brings a breakthrough this Christmas. Yeah? That we begin to see extraordinary things because God did them at that first Christmas. And if that's a pattern for every Christmas, which didn't, I know, start till way past the 3rd century. But we just need to say, if this is what God did in bringing Christ, we want to make sure we bring that same Christ into our Christmas. It's not about Lapland. It's not about Disney characters in our Christmas church spectacular. It's about God's Holy Spirit working. And God wants to move his purposes forward again. And he comes to unsuspecting people like Mary, like Zechariah, like Elizabeth. Can I just ask you to say with me Luke 1:36, what Mary declared, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. We've got our family round on Christmas Eve. A lot of them will be coming and playing. But I said to Mary, I want to start a new tradition this Christmas. I want us to have a prayer time. I want us to have a sing song with some Christmas carols. I want to bring Jesus clearer back into what we do. Can I ask you to do the same? Don't leave him out. It's his party. Nothing is impossible with God. Can I say, age is not an issue. His power is able to do anything. I want to tell you, Jesus didn't have a virgin birth. What it was a virgin conception. Jesus was born normally, the normal way. But the miracle was that the God, second person of the Trinity, entered into an egg of a woman. How does the God who's always been Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, how does the one who has always been never changing, how does he didn't start at Bethlehem? What did God put in? How did the Holy Spirit do that? I don't know, but it just shows you this. Just remember this. God can do absolutely anything. Absolutely anything. And we need to believe that. We've got one or two coming round for meals this Christmas, and I want to tell you, I'm going to talk to them about Jesus. Yeah? You need to talk to people about Jesus, not just give them a box of matchmakers. Ah, but they might be offended. They'll be offended if they're not here next Christmas. What a beautiful picture that God gives us here of Elizabeth and Mary. The teenager and the elderly. God does a miracle in both. Yeah? Heaven gets busy. Angels start moving everywhere when God's plans begin to be put into operation. He begins new life. We want to see people saved this Christmas. We've got to do something that enables the Holy Spirit to do his work. He can only work where the seed of the gospel is truly proclaimed. Yeah? Truly proclaimed. You see, goodwill towards men includes the gospel. Is that right? God's goodwill towards them means he wants to save them. That's his love. That's his grace. That's who he is. And so we must realize that God wants people to start a new journey, as wise men journeyed. Thank God he comes to people we wouldn't expect. Is that right? Comes to people we wouldn't expect. You know, the shepherds were such a low level in community and in society, they weren't even allowed to stand in court and be a testimony. Nobody believed them because they thought they were a bunch of liars. Can't believe shepherds. Who did Jesus send the biggest bunch of angels to? Who did the Father send the biggest bunch of angels to tell the message? Yeah? I mean, isn't it just amazing that God, why didn't you go to all those in Herod's court that were supposed to be looking for you? No, he didn't. There were shepherds abiding in the fields, watching over their flocks by night. And the angel of the Lord, I like this, see, authorized verses, and the angel of the Lord came upon them. Hallelujah. Yeah? I don't know how, maybe they're all singing and one of them crept up and went boo. I want to tell you what happened was that people who didn't expect God's power and God's love to come, he came. And you know what God said? And they're going to be my evangelists. They're going to be the ones that spread the word. And he says they were amazed and went everywhere. Do you think we need a little bit more of that in the church about amazement about God? Yeah? Need to get a bit more amazed that God saved you? A little bit more amazed at this truth that he brings to us? Oh, friends, this morning, let us recognize that he comes from those we don't expect, and he draws people who are so far away. How far away is those people that you're thinking about who might be coming for see you over Christmas? How godless are they? How far away are they? How resentful are they that you're a Christian? I had all of that with my family, my brother and sister. You can come, but don't talk about God. You can come, but talk about everything. Auntie. But you know, God can still save. Yeah? I don't know who God's working on today, but he's still able to bring the ones who are the furthest away to his grace. Yeah? We, as we pray and believe, let's expect that. Signs and wonders were seen. And you know what? There was a new focus on worship. On worship. It's interesting, isn't it, that where there's worship, there's always angels. Yeah? Where truly Jesus is the focus, supernatural things happen. That's why we can't put him to one side and replace him with anything else. We just need to ask God, help us. Because as I look at the Christmas events of this first Christmas, if we like to call it that, there was a new focus on Jesus. When they took him to be circumcised and offered to the Lord, there were people there, Simeon and Anna, who said, our prayers have been answered and prophecy is being fulfilled. Yeah? What have you been praying for this year? Who have you been praying for this year? Here's an opportunity. Maybe this Christmas time. God, I'd just love to see somebody saved before Christmas. I'd love to share with somebody and that open their heart to Jesus and receive him. Yeah? So our evangelism begins to happen out of a new sense of wonder. Like those shepherds who spread the word that Jesus and his birth means that everything is going to change. I love the words of the carol, where meek hearts will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. Be born in us today. I don't know whether you've heard that little story about, you know, the school Christmas nativity. And they put a little lad who was very nervous to be the innkeeper. And the lad who was playing Joseph was quite a lot more confident than the little nervous lad who was playing the innkeeper. So when they came and knocked on the door, Joseph says, "You got a room?" And he went, no. "Got a wife here, pregnant. You got a room?" "I'll go on then." Yeah? What am I saying? I'm just saying this, friends. May God give us boldness. Because we just might find that there's people who say, "Oh, go on then. I'll receive Jesus. I'll open my life to him." I know factually, I don't want to bring all the facts. I don't know why. Many years ago, I was chosen to be sent a magazine on society. And I'm always blessed when it comes through the door, because I am titled Captain Reverend Randerson. So somehow they think I'm half Sally Army and half a vicar. All right? So I'll go like this and I'm Sally Army. Go like this. But it's packed full of all society figures that go on and what's happening and what's to be expected and all the things that happen around this time of year. And some of them are really sad. Can I just ask us to remember that Satan doesn't take his foot off the pedal at Christmas? Suicide, hopelessness, homelessness. They're at a level in our society. On the news this week, it said there's more people out on the streets this Christmas than perhaps there's been for many a year. Be led by the Holy Spirit. But don't ignore anything God tells us to do. Because for many, there's still a Herod out there who wants to destroy Christ. Yeah? And so many people, they have problems, difficulties, arguments, troubles, lonelinesses, painfulnesses, bereavement, loss. Let us show them that we have a Christ who came to love us. Yeah? To love us. So, I've done. Next one, please. Oh, you haven't done the next one. There you go. Let's look for where God is working. Let's look for where there's fresh activity of the Holy Spirit. Let's ask the Lord to lead us. Let's believe for some suddenlies of God. God wants to bring new life. Age is not an issue. All he needs is your willing heart. God loves all men, no matter what their status. Share the good news with family and strangers. May our worship grow deeper. May our gifts be our lives in surrender to Jesus. May we see and thwart the enemy when he comes to steal and to destroy. Christmas is coming. Let's be ready for God. It's a time when he moves. Shall we stand and pray? Is this a killjoy message? No, I don't believe it is. I believe it's a joy-filled message. Does that mean we can't have a good Christmas? Does that mean we can't have turkey leg and we can't have cranberry and all the rest of them? No. It doesn't mean anything like that. But what it does mean is we keep it in perspective. You're not just going to click off being concerned about the gospel because Christmas has come. Contrary, we're actually going to be more concerned because people, there is an atmosphere at Christmas. And I don't know what it is. I don't know whether it's come from history or whatever, but you still feel this sort of remnant of goodwill, don't you? You You still feel it in our society, isn't it? We need to be thankful for that, because there's not many other times. God reminded Israel continually of his goodness in all the seven feasts of Jehovah. God said, keep reminding him it's all about me. Keep reminding him it's all about. This is the main one we get, and there's still a remnant in it. Whether you watch Scrooge and all, you know, the stuff this year on television or whatever, it's reminding us that still in our society, people know that there is goodness and that goodness comes from God. So may God help us. Praise God. Just by faith, agree with me today, will you? Praise God. Lord, by faith. Say it with me. Lord, by faith. I want to do somebody some good this Christmas. I want to pray for somebody this Christmas. I want to share the preciousness of Jesus with somebody this Christmas. Holy Spirit, will you come and make us bolder than ever before? Not just to lock ourselves away just with family, but Lord, to realize that we can open up places and homes and show Christ. Oh, Jesus, let us not miss our opportunities, Lord. Let us end the confusion of our society and tell them clearly, Jesus Christ, our Savior, is born. Lord, help us this week.